lubricants from any transport used to cross wild country. Peering out between the heavy studded tires, Ryan observed a crackling fire hidden in a low pit. Squatting around the flames was a platoon of SEC men, sipping coffee sub brewed in a huge steel pot suspended over the fire by a metal grid. The conversation was low and unhurried, as if they had nothing to worry about. Ryan quickly abandoned his plan to try to capture or kill Overton. This wasn't a campsite. It was a military outpost. Whatever Overton was doing here would have to wait until morning, when Ryan could return with more troops from Front Royal. Backing away under the pre-dark vehicle, Ryan froze as Overton limped out of the cave. The man was wearing clean clothes and using the stock of an M60 machine rifle as a cane. Hobbling closer, Overton asked the men around the fire a question. They responded, and the black-haired man lifted a whistle to his lips and blew hard, the shrill noise shattering the peaceful night.
"I know you're here, Father."
The words echoed slightly in the woods.
"There's an electric current flowing through the concertina wire. When you cut the strands, it instantly informed us of a break. One might be an animal or an accident, but four means it's you. The hole is now covered with 10 armed SEC men. The wire already replaced."
Could be true. Could be bullshit, Ryan thought. But there had been a slight tingle when he cut the wires, and he thought nothing of it at the time. Now he was in their camp, with the noose closing. Glancing at the dirt path, Ryan saw blue shirts walking the wooden tripods across the road, trailing glittering coils of the concertina wire to seal off the exit. Quickly, Ryan reviewed his weapons. He'd lost a long blaster with the bike, but he still had the Steyr with 5 reloads, an AK-47 with 1 extra clip, the Sig Sauer with 3 magazines, and a couple of knives. It was nowhere near sufficient for a stand-up fight, especially when he was outgunned and outmanned. Okay, when losing at a crooked card game, a wise man kicked over the table.
"Come out, Ryan. We can talk this over, like gentlemen."
Ignoring that nonsense, Ryan placed a hand on the belly of the wag above him, but felt no movement. Taking a risk, he eased open the belly hatch with his knife point, the way the trader had taught him so long ago. As Ryan swung aside the steel plate, a SEC man in the driver's seat turned and gasped. Then the blue shirt rocked backward, the handle of Christie's knife protruding from his neck. As quietly as he could, Ryan pulled himself inside and closed the belly hatch, then slid home the heavy SEC bolt that nobody ever used. It simply took too long to open if you were trying to get out in a hurry. The driver was struggling with the seatbelt, trying to get free. Ryan neatly finished off the dying man with his panga, retrieved Christie's knife, and checked the indicators. Plenty of fuel, nuke batteries at full power. He flipped a couple of switches and moved to the turret.
"Ryan!"
Overton brought the huge M60 to rest on a shoulder, as if it weighed no more than a common rifle. Climbing up the step, Ryan fumbled with the ammo belt for the 25mm cannon, finally getting it to feed properly into the breech by sheer determination. Without the big Detroit engines to supply electricity, the batteries would soon drain from operating the electricity-driven weapon. But in those few minutes, Ryan would blow himself a hold of freedom straight through Overton.
"All right, then. Die, traitor!"
Overton worked the bolt of the M60, chambering the first round of the long ammo belt dangling from the side of the weapon.
"Alpha, full perimeter sweep. Beta, secure the cave. Gamma, stand by me."
"Traitor, my ass."
And Ryan tripped the controls. The cannon jerked at his delicate touch and started hosing the campsite with 25mm shells. Dropping his weapon, Overton dived for cover as powerful detonations raked the clearing. Men simply disintegrated under the hellish barrage, and the ground seemed to boil. The mouth of the cave collapsed explosively, partially sealing off the opening. In a screech of tortured metal, the antenna dish folded over and tumbled off the hill, crumpling as it impacted on the grass. One SEC man stayed sitting near the campfire, a cup of coffee sub in his hands. Ryan thought the man was paralyzed with fear until he noticed the sliver of metal sticking through the man's chest, nailing him in place to a wooden crate behind. The headlights of the other LAB clicked on as the big engine roared to life. On battery power, Ryan wasted precious seconds completely destroying the other APC. The pre-dark depleted uranium rounds punching through the thick military armor as if it were cardboard. When the first wag burst into flames, the Deathlands warrior finally dared to move onward, raking the forest and road with thundering death. Bright flowers of muzzle flashes dotted the darkness from return fire, and 100 rounds bounced off the APC, sounding like rain on a tin roof. The hot, spent shells rained upon the metal floor at his boots, the ringing noise deafening, without protective covering on his ears. With the trigger locked into position, Ryan turned the turret in a full circle, shooting into the trees and bushes. Screams peppered the nonstop explosions, and fires were burning all over the clearing. A Gren boomed near the LAV, throwing dirt onto the hull. Then another hit the prow, igniting with a swell and casting a thick sheet of fire across the wag. A wave of searing heat flooded into the vents, carrying the metallic stink of thermite. They were trying to melt the APC from underneath him. Just then, a warning light started to flash as Ryan swept the clearing again and the cannon stopped abruptly, the ammo bin completely empty. Dropping out of the turret, Ryan hit the munitions locker and grabbed a fresh belt of 25mm rounds. The linked shells were incredibly heavy, and it was an effort for him to drag the belt into the turret. Reloading was supposed to be a two-man job. Blinking away the sweat running off his face due to the rising temperature inside the wag, Ryan fought apart the hot breech of the cannon. Then spied Overton walking out of the cave carrying a short plastic tube. He extended the tube to nearly double its length, a sight popping up from the top, and a pistol-like handle dropping down from the bottom. With a bitter curse, Ryan dropped the ammo belt and scrambled from the turret. Clawing at the handle of the rear door, he charged into the cool darkness. A lance of flame reached out from the tube to slam into the fire-coated APC and violently explode. The blast lifting the wag off the ground and throwing it sideways. The noise of the massive blast rumbled over the forest. Still running, Ryan was slapped against the ground by the sheer force of the concussion.
No!
And the night vanished in a crash of illumination, clusters of halogen bulbs on the top of poles lighting the area as bright as day. Caught totally by surprise, Ryan found himself trapped in plain sight. Yards away from the forest, he dived behind the crumpled ruins of the satellite dish. Drawing his blaster, Ryan emptied an entire clip at the closest pole, and the lights died as the glass shattered. But that was only one out of many.
You're trapped!
Overton worked the bolt on the M60, being extra careful not to break a finger on the powerful spring.
Chill the son of a bitch!
A score of blasters from every direction spoke at once, sending waves of rounds into the resilient plastic dish. Designed to withstand the worst possible of storms, the antenna still cracked under the fusillade of bullets. Then the M60 spoke, the large 7.62mm rounds stitching a line of holes clear through the material. Crouching low behind a crushed corpse, Ryan seized the man's AK-47 and fired a return volley. A mound of loose dirt was at his rear, offering some protection, but the dish was being torn to pieces, and he was still horribly outnumbered. Ryan knew he'd better get clever real fast, or else he was meat in a box. The barrage slowed for a moment, and Ryan stood, emptying the AK-47 at the fuel drums inside the cave. But the angle was wrong, and he couldn't reach the barrels without dangerously exposing himself to lethal return fire.
You had a chance to surrender!
Overton lay a fresh belt of linked ammo into the hot breech of his big blaster. Spent shells lay at his boots like golden offerings to a primitive war god.
Too late now, dear father.
As a reply, Ryan stood and threw his only spare ammo clip for the AK-47 into the smoldering campfire.
Incoming!
Overton cursed as the round started to cook off, bullets flying in every which way in a totally random pattern. Inside the cave, a Sekhman cried out, a red stain spreading over his stomach. A crate burst apart, spilling MRE packs, and a fuel barrel dented deeply enough to start oozing fuel like tears from a dead eye. But there was no detonation.
You three! Maintain cover fire!
Overton shouted from behind a timber from the fallen entrance of the limestone hill. The man was brandishing a huge hand cannon, with the deadly M60 lying near the campfire.
Shoot in shifts! One reloading while the others keep firing. You four, circle to the right. You and you to the left. Block his escape and chill the bastard on sight!
Bullets drilled into the curved expanse of the antenna steadily, ricocheting off the metal support struts. Staying low, Ryan didn't dare stand, knowing it was certain death. Pawing through the bloody clothes of the dead man under the dish, the one-eyed man found the wrong half of an AK-47, a bent knife, and a single Gren. Bullets zipped through the trees on either side, the crossfire closing in.